This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Hey, I just want to put this out there, man. Like, if you see me and my right arm is a little stronger than the other, it ain't what you think. The pandemic didn't do me like that. It did, but that's not it. I just been making a lot of lemon curd recently, so my whiskey, that's not sounding any better. All right, anyway.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
For the meanwhile,
I would wrap you up,
make you scream aloud, darling, if I had you.
For the meanwhile, I would be yours.
I could be yours.
Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.D. Flan, representing the White Pants Society, and I have to thank you first and foremost for tuning in, giving me any moment, section, portion of your day to just talk through some things, have some fun, whatever it is we do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I greatly appreciate that. What are we going to talk about today? Interesting stuff. Yeah, I am making a lot of lemon curd, though. I just made some. I woke up this Sunday, the day I'm recording this. It's been a really good day, man. Like, I got up, I cleaned the kitchen, made some lemon curd, had some chicken noodle soup, watched TV. And it's raining and everything, but it's been a pretty dope day, man. Like, I got the patio door open right now, so we'll see how that affects the sound or whatever, but I'm chilling. I'm having a good day, and just wanted to chat with the people for a little bit. I will do my usual Chef Elise updates. I did have her this week. This may be one of the last weeks I do consecutive weeks. I think we're going to move to every other weekend, but I keep her for longer. So I may be able to have her for the entire weekend, and we kind of do more stuff. It was really cool this week. I went out and got her a bathing suit, some swimming shoes, and was able to take her to the pool. And so, that helped her burn off a lot of energy, and we chilled and had a good time at the pool. And I felt like a good dad. And, people came by, she's so cute and everything. Thank you. Appreciate it. And my daughter's real dope. She says thank you to everybody. So she's got good manners. I guess I got to thank her mom for that. What else did we do? We made pancakes the next morning. Saturday morning, she woke up and wanted pancakes. And she helped me. She cracked the eggs. She was getting there, man. Like, she's really getting there with the cooking stuff. Like, she cut up her own strawberries because she's gotta have garnish. Everything has to have a garnish. And so she likes to decorate stuff. So she did that. And that was pretty much it. Not a whole lot crazy went on. It rained, so we didn't do our ice cream trip and all of that, but we just hung out and was, Elise and Dad went to the pool, made pancakes. It was a good fatherly weekend for me, good fatherly visit. And then, hopefully in the future I'll have her for longer periods of time so we can really get out. I can plan some real activities and we can do something, but I enjoyed it. I'm in a good mood, in a good space right now. Had to make some tough decisions and cut some things out, but it was necessary. And now it's like I don't sit and think about whether or not I should cut these things out. I think that was taking up a large portion of my energy, just like debating over whether or not I should pull the trigger on certain things. And having done it, I now don't have to worry about whether I should do it. It's, we passed that, and good space to be in. Man, what else? I got to say happy belated birthday to the homie Chad. He's been on the other show, Define Functional, on both episodes, only two. I need to do another one, and we will. But he's been on both episodes of that and contributed. My white friend, you know, one of my many white friends that thinks that they're blacker than I am. But that's up for debate. But yeah, we hung out yesterday for his birthday. I bought tickets to Donnell Rawlings' show. He was in Austin last night. And, you know, I guess I bought, when I saw the show, I'm like, I want to go, right? Because I ain't been out the house, pandemic, all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, I want to go. So I know I'm buying a ticket. Buying one ticket didn't sound like a good idea. Like, that just sounded stupid. I don't know. For whatever reason, it didn't seem appropriate to buy one ticket. So I'm like, I'm going to buy two tickets, though I really don't have any idea of, you know, who would go with me. You know, I had ideas of people who I wanted to ask, and I was hoping, you know, for some female energy, and that didn't quite work out for various reasons. But yeah, just eventually, I hit up Chad, because we normally hang out on Saturdays and just get dinner or whatever, just to bro out and just to socialize and stuff like that. I don't know. But yeah, I just, you know, eventually hit him up. I was like, man, I got tickets to this show if you're interested. And it, you know, come to find out, the day of the show was his birthday. So we went out and we got to listen to some comedy last night. And it was really dope. It's always an interesting experience for me to be around, like, a friend of another ethnicity, especially white, and, like, be in an area where the word nigga gets used, like, so freely. Like, it was a lot. Like, it was a lot.
Nigga!
Just,
nigga! Nigga!
Just all night, like. And we cool enough that it wasn't uncomfortable, but it was funny. It added something to the show for me, for him to be there in the midst of. Of course, somebody's calling me. Sorry about that. Anyway, turn the Bluetooth off on that. But anyway, yeah, man, it's a really good show. I thought it was dope because I got to see, like, that cancel culture and, like, the PC world really hasn't affected certain comedians. Like, certain comedians have figured out their ways to maneuver in those spaces and to still be themselves and to still make jokes, not jokes with the intent of being offensive, but jokes with the intent of not trying to avoid being offensive. Like, if it's funny, I'm gonna say it. And that was a large part of the night last night. Like, it was really cool. And then with this whole thing with, like, they lock your phones away, you know, they made us come in and we put, like, our phones in a little pouch, and you know, your phone had to be turned off and locked away for the entire show. And at one point, I think even Donnell was like, you know, he was making a joke and he was like, man, this sounds like some Asian hate. He's like, fuck it, your phone's locked up anyway, and just kept in there, you know, and went fully in on it. So that was dope for me. Like, that, you know, if I lock your phones away, nobody can report me to the Twitter police, and I can say what the fuck I want to say, and we can laugh about it, and we can move on. Good night, though. Now, I will say this, though, and maybe this is just me, but this is a disclaimer or a warning to anybody who decides to attend any sort of show with me in the future. I've noticed that maybe I am one of the few people who feels this way, and that it is not just a black thing or white thing, because, you know, it happens when I go with my black friends, and it happened last night with Chad, and it's one of my pet peeves, pisses me off, and I need to get it out there. So I understand that we all know that if the door is open at a certain time, that the show, the headliner, the main event, whatever it is, the show itself might not start for an hour after that, and the headliner ain't gonna come on until maybe an hour after that. And so I know a lot of people feel like if the door is open at 7:30, you know, we don't need to be there till like 8:39, and we ain't gonna miss nothing. I'm not in that camp, especially when you go to events that's like general admission or shit like that. Like, I will sit through the bullshit and the random unknown DJ or just the whatever music that they play. And down here in Austin, rest assured that, like, this is how we do it or some shit like that is going to be played at any event. They love that song for some reason. And I sit and listen to Montel Jordan. Is that what his name? Montel, whatever it is. I listen to that shit so that I can have a good seat, a good view. Like, you know, we got there. He asked me before we left, like, what time do the show start? And I was like, 7:30. And so he's like, I figured we'd get something to eat before the show. And I was like, all right, bet, whatever. And I'm like, well, what time are you trying to leave? And he's like, I'll probably come by around 6:30. And it already didn't ring like that. And I wasn't like, if we don't leave here until 6:30, that means we're not downtown until like 7:00 and you're trying to eat and the show starts at 7:30. Like, but it's his birthday, so I'm trying not to like freak out about it. We get downtown or whatever around like 7:15 and we walk past the venue and there are already people standing outside. So like blood pressure immediately went up. Like there's a line and we're not in it. We're walking past it, you know, and I think he actually wanted to like go to a sit down restaurant and like have a meal. And I'm all for that. I like to eat good. You know, Austin is a lot of good food, but we got a show to be at. And I think, you know, the places he wanted to go had like hour long waits. So we ended up not doing that. We just grabbed like a slice of pizza or something and got back. And of course, by the time we got back, the line was even longer. And when we got in, like the general admission seating was for the most part taken up. And so we ended up like sitting at the bar, like the seats at the bar that were like furthest from the stage. Like we had to look past the bartenders who were moving the entire show to like see the stage. And we were almost so far away that I had difficulty hearing sometime. And it just got to me. Because if we had just gotten there and got in line and got in, we might have had to sit through some bullshit, but we'd have had, you know, a decent view of the show. I don't know. That's how I am. If I invite you someplace to a show and I buy the tickets, we need to be there in line before the time that the show starts. Because I wanna get a good seat. Just understand that's how it's going to go. Even if it's your birthday, that's how it's going to go. But anyway, moving on. man, like I said, I am feeling really good right now. I'm having a good day, good week, good weekend. Like, I've really been in like my R&B bag a lot recently, even with the J. Cole album coming out. Like J. Cole got a couple spins this week. But for the most part, I've been like heavy into Novel. You know, I played that For the Meanwhile as the intro song. I'm gonna name the episode For the Meanwhile. I told y'all I was writing this book and like every chapter, because music is such a big part of my life, like every chapter of the book was going to be named after a song. They all had like song titles. And this week, like I've been so heavy in the Novel, like I've been wanting to go back and like change titles to chapters for these Novel songs, because they speak so directly to me. I feel like I know he has to. I don't want to call another man an addict, but I feel like he's had an issue with substances at least once or twice in his life, based on the lyrics. And it's a lot of lovesick shit. It's a lot of depressing. So like, he's like the R&B Joe Budden, and I fucks with Joe Budden musically. Personally, it's a whole different situation. But yeah, he's like the R&B Joe Budden to me. Like, man, and we relate. He speaks to me. You know, so I've been playing a lot of that, and I just, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm not, relationship wise, I'm in no kind of space to be like thinking about like love or romantic things. Like none of that is like happening, or there's no prospects and there's no real like search for it. Like I'm not having fun on the dating apps. Like I'm not pursuing shit. Like we might start a conversation and it just fall off because I'm just not interested in trying to figure out what to say and all that kind of stuff. So like real life, I'm not there, but like the music that I want around me like all the time is just like these straight like love songs or unrequited love. So it's really crazy. Like I played that intro joint. but this was the part that came before that. Like ladies, I don't want to know, because like I listen to these lines, I'm like, man, these are incredible lines. Like I listen to this music, and even though I'm not in a situation where I want to be, where there's a relationship that I'm pursuing, or like I want to have someone that I want to say something like this to, if that makes sense. Like, not there right now, but I would like to have someone that makes me want to say dumb shit like that. But it, I mean, it's not dumb. They're very dope now. I just don't know if women even appreciate that shit anymore. Because my experiences on like these date naps have been like, nigga, get to the point. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what we came here, this is Tinder. We didn't come here to get to know each other. Like, where you at? Where, you know, how far away are you? That kind of shit. Like, so I don't even know if ladies appreciate shit like this, but like, these are the lines from the song that I love. Like, this is what came before that intro piece. Please don't be so insecure.
Exaggeration. If only you could see what I saw through these
eyes. Like, man, like, if only you could see what I saw through these eyes. Like, I don't know, that speaks to me. I feel like I've been in situations with a woman where they don't, or at least they pretend not to understand how beautiful they are, and like, random situations. Like, you don't require lingerie, or don't require makeup, don't require a lot of things. Like, if only you could see what I see, like, you wouldn't be insecure in this moment. And in this moment, we could, I don't know, I'm going someplace. But this is what these songs do to me. Here's another one. Like, but ladies, like, do those lines even for somebody to say that to you? Like, please don't be so insecure. Your body's all I want to explore. Girl, that's no exaggeration. If only you could see what I saw through these eyes. Like, I don't know. That's player shit to me. Like, I want to be in a situation where I can say something like that. Here's no.
Sunshine, sunshine. Like sun rays on your body. So warm your vibe. Without you, just wouldn't be alive. Oh, I see you like I see the stars, babe. Like religion sees hard fate. And I don't care what they all say. If love ain't easy, then we can do this the hard way.
Nigga! Come on, man. I don't care what they all say. If love ain't easy, then we can do this the hard way. Those are bars. I don't know. That's where I've been at. And I really think another, beyond like the connection with the substance abuse and the depression and the mental health issues, I'm not really painting a great picture for why you should be a novel fan. But, beyond those things, I think it's the falsetto that really, like that may be really the thing that pulls me in. Like, and that's because, like, I had that moment. Like, I used to be maybe 7th or 8th grade. Like, over the course of a summer, I think I went from like a first soprano to whatever you hear now. I don't want to qualify myself as a baritone or whatever it is, but like, I really went from like high pitched voice kid, you know, like I said, first soprano in the choir to like whatever the fuck this is right now. And I even remember, like, I remember vividly, like, this is women, y'all talk about us like we just horrible people, and we just so superficial, and we just say and do mean things to y'all. Y'all do some horrific scarring thing. Like, I remember this shit vividly. I was in the 8th grade in the hallway, and some girls were having a discussion about me. And the comment was, if you talk to him on the phone and then you see him in person, you'll be disappointed. Like, that's some soul crushing evil shit. Like, that is hard. And I was a child. Like, I was a baby. And this is how they talk back. That's horrible. That shit hurts. It hurts. But yeah, I think that's what it is about the novel stuff, is the falsetto. Like, I still be wanting to hit them first soprano notes every once in a while. Like, I don't know. I feel like I could, but I ain't gonna do it because I'm not. But yeah. But that's my discussion of my R&B bag. What else happened? I did have something to try to like knock me down. And then again, like, you know, to speak to just how dope people are and the goodness there is in the world, like, folks pull me out of it. Like, I had another podcast review my podcast, and this is how the situation went down. Like, I'm in all these Facebook groups and stuff, about podcasting. And occasionally somebody will post something like, you know, drop a link to your show, you know, I'll leave a review or whatever, 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 blah, blah, blah. So this dude, his show is based on listening to other podcasts and reviewing them. So he's like, drop a link to your show, I'll give it a listen, you know, and make an episode about you. And so this was not like something I sought out. Like, I didn't go find this show and go submit my podcast for review. This dude was asking for shows to review. So I'm like, I bet. I thought this would be a great, you know, constructive exercise. Like, I could get some feedback because it seems to be very difficult to come by. So I put my podcast link up there. He responded immediately and told me, like, what week or whatever my show would come up. And so this was weeks ago. So I forget about it. Like, I'm just whatever. And I'm going through prep for the 200th episode, and 201, and 202. And I'm feeling good. Like, you know, I'm getting these episodes out. And I'm doing the promo, putting together, you know, images and the posts and stuff for episode 202. And when I'm looking up my stuff on Spotify and for their little promo cards, like, another show pops up. And this was him. It had the name of my show in the title because it was the review. So I was like, oh shit. So it's like, man, I get to post both of these this week. So I get the post ready for my show. I send those out and I'm writing up a post to tell everybody go check out this review of my show. And something said, go listen to it. So I think I went and checked out the site and saw that it was on like 9 minutes long. So I'm like, I bet, you know, that ain't gonna take me no time. Let me go check out this review before I post it. It's fucking brutal. Like, that shit hurts. Like I just talked about the, you know, chick saying you'd be disappointed if you saw him. Like, I'm trying to figure out which one hurt more. Like, I don't know. At damn near 40, this shit hurt. Like, this, he didn't even get to the show. He was so upset by, like, the description, the logo, the intro music, the intro theme, whatever that plays. Like, he ain't even get to, like, the actual show. Like, he got so frustrated and angry before he got there that he couldn't even listen to the show. Now, the part of me that wants to explain it away thinks, because I think that was the episode where I went in on, like, Sesame Street and racism. I don't know. There's part of me that wants to believe that he listened to the show before he recorded the thing and was so offended by the content of the show that, you know, he had his mind up how this review was going to go. Because I never seen somebody get, like, so personally upset about a description of a podcast. Like, this dude was livid about how I described my show. Like it hurt his feelings somehow. Like, it really caught me off guard. But yeah, that shit hurt. And I posted it. I didn't post the review. Like, I'm not giving that any publicity. Fuck him. But and I got some constructive stuff out. I took some good things away from it, but fuck that dude. But yeah, I mean, I posted the fact that I got a review and it was brutal. And, you know, folks, and shout out to every time it's not because I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's because I'm so worried about mispronouncing it because I know people who get, like, super angry about that. That however I think I know it's supposed to be pronounced, I second guess it right at the moment that I'm gonna say it. But god damn it. I'm gonna go with Tamara. Tamara the Don. God, I hope Tamara. No, I'm gonna go with Tamara. You know, she responded, you know, to some of my posts on Twitter and pretty much, you know, that, like, you shouldn't get wrapped up in one person's opinion on your show. There are people who enjoy the content you put out there. I mean, that's, and it meant a lot. Like I've talked about it before. Like, every week, there's a moment where I feel like not doing this anymore. And it's usually something that happens that I don't know if the person knows that, you know, they came through in that moment. But something always happens and somebody comes through and gives me a reason to keep, you know, pushing these episodes out. And that was the moment this week. So as much that tried to knock me down, and I was fucked up for a couple of days behind that. But as you can see right now, I'm good. I made some Fruity Pebbles green iced tea and infused it with strawberries. Like, I'm on my bougie level 1,000 this week, and a lemon curd. I'm right back where I wanted to be. good times. So yeah, that was my week. And that's taking up the majority of the show real quick in the last couple of minutes. And it's probably good that I waited till now so that I don't get too wordy, too preachy with this. I'm going to do something that I shouldn't do, that I know is futile, but I seem to have a passion and a sincere desire to want to do. I want to try again to explain to people, and this is for Mental Health Awareness Month, like what addiction is really like. Like for somebody who doesn't understand what it's like to be addicted to something, if I could try to make that make sense, you know, because you hear people just like, you know, just don't do it or just say no and shit like that. Like that shows a lack of understanding. That shows that you don't understand. And if anything, I want people to understand that they don't understand, like to believe that they have no idea how it feels so that they can't judge a person who is actually going through it. But in the last episode, I talked about, you know, my rescue from the hotel room and my journey to like the first of a few mental health facilities that I landed in. And I think I talked about like being in the hospital and this like being so dehydrated that I just had this obsession about water. Like I couldn't drink and I knew I couldn't drink, but all I thought about was like even when I was in the hotel room, I would just like, I would fill up this huge jar of water and I would just put my hand in it and just swirl my hand around in it. Cause just touching the water, even though I couldn't drink it and I wanted to drink it, like I was that thirsty, but just touching the water, like was something, you know. I would like take sips of water and spit it out, but I couldn't swallow it, but I needed, like, this is how much I needed it. And like, it was, my dreams were about water. I dreamt about, you know, sitting at a stream or sitting at a creek and putting my feet in the water or drinking directly from a creek. Like I fantasized about water like that. It was an obsession. Like it was all I thought about. You know, all I looked forward to was like healing enough to be able to drink water and to be able to just gulp water. Like that's all I thought about. And when I was telling that story last week, you know, it kind of helped put something in perspective that I try to explain to people, is that like your mind, you are not your mind. You are not your thoughts. You are the awareness of your thoughts. So your mind, your brain can make decisions and do things that are not a reflection of your wishes or your true desires. They are, your body is telling you that you need something. Your mind feels like it needs something. Your mind feels like it recognizes a pattern, and it is going to produce, it's going to do what it takes to get you, the observer, to give it what it wants or to make the decision that it wants you to make. And so in this case, for me, it was dehydration. It was water. My body needed water. And so I actually fantasized about water. Like I was obsessed with water. My mind was going to take me through whatever it needed to take me through. It was going to make me dream about it. I was going to think about it. I was going to want it. I was going to be obsessed with it every second until it got water. And I know some of you maybe have been so hungry that all you can think about is food. All you can think about is eating. We see it in the cartoons where like somebody gets so hungry that they start seeing people as food. They start hallucinating. Like, so I think we're familiar with this concept. We're aware of this idea that your mind can play tricks on you to get what it feels like it needs at the moment. And what I don't think people understand is that, and this is my understanding of addiction, and somebody may come around and contradict it, but I do view addiction from the disease model. And my understanding is what happens is there's a list of like basic human needs, like that your body, your brain knows it needs food, it needs water, it needs shelter, it needs companionship. It wants to procreate, you know, so you have a desire to have sex. You have a desire for connection with people. And these are things that are programmed into you. And sometimes if you don't have these desires, those are mental disorders. So that's how necessary these desires are. And in cases of addiction, you can you can do things that will put something else on that list. That will put something right on that list with air and water and food and sex. You can put something on that list. And when that thing ends up on that list and your body or your mind decides it needs it, or, you know, or has to have it or should have it, it's a requirement for survival, it is going to do what it takes to get you to provide it with that thing. It's going to take you to some places you don't want to go to get you to give it that thing. Like I said, I fantasize about water. Like I don't ever, you know, like it is, I can't even explain it to you. I can't explain it to you in a way that I think will really paint the picture. But like it was a literal obsession. It was every moment, every waking moment, that is what I thought about, was water. And even though I knew drinking the water was going to make me throw up, it's going to make the situation worse, I would still try. They would give me ice chips and I would sit there and try to melt the ice chips until there was enough water to take a drink, because that's how badly I wanted it. So even though I knew it was going to cause some negative consequences, it was going to set back my recovery, it was going to make me uncomfortable, I was going to have a violent physical reaction to it, I still wanted it so much that none of that was a good enough reason not to do it. That, to me, in its simplest terms, is what addiction feels like. Like your mind is telling you that something is so important that the negative consequences that you know come along with it are not enough to dissuade you from doing it. You are obsessed. It is an obsession. And I was talking to Chad last night, because like I said, we got to this place and you know, we got there, you know, so late that we ended up having to sit at the bar. We were sitting like directly in front of the bartender station. So not just at the bar, but directly in front of where they mix drinks. So like I was sitting, if I looked straight ahead, I was watching a bartender make margaritas and pour shots and open beers. I smelled beer and tequila, and I'm looking at bottles all night. And I know 2.5 years ago, like that would have been torture. Like all I would have been looking for was a moment where Chad wasn't looking, or a way I thought I could get myself a drink and nobody know. Like it would have felt that important that I wouldn't have been able to enjoy that show. I wouldn't have been paying attention to Donnell Rawlins. I wouldn't have been paying attention to no other comedian. I wouldn't have been paying attention to nothing else other than what it was, how I could manufacture a moment where I could get this drink and get away with it. That had been my obsession. And last night I was able to sit there in front of this bartender and watch her pour these drinks and smell tequila and then drink Red Bull all night and go home and not think about it, not want to stop at the liquor store. Like, so that, you know, the obsession can be lifted, and it's a miracle. I'm grateful for it, but it is an obsession. Like if you know somebody going through it, like, just don't think it's not a kick it, quit it. Like, it's not a just stop. I swear to God, if they could, they would. If they feel like they could, they would. It's going to take something outside of them. It's going to take something greater than them. It's going to take something. They need help, you know. And, you know, people have got to get to certain places before they seek that help. But I don't know. Just I try. So, man, I think the last time I did it, I talked about, like, feeling like you needed to pee all the time. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole again. But this one, I think, is maybe a clearer depiction of what addiction actually feels like. So that's my mental health message for today. I believe that addiction is a mental health issue, and we should look at people that, like myself, that suffer with it as people that need help with their mental health disorder. They need treatment. They need help. And, you know, we should look at them as sick people who need help, not as demonic, evil, self-destructive people. That's not what's happening. It's not really what's happening. Mind is playing tricks on you. But with all that said, I'm done. I'm off the soapbox. Hopefully I ain't go too far. But good week. I want to thank, you know, people for listening and for being a part of this show. It really means a lot. That review, like in the past, would have killed me. And I actually, you know, come out at the end of this week feeling better than I did going in. So shout out to all of you. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate y'all for letting me do this and for listening and for throwing me the feedback when you do. It means the world to me. So with all that said, let's do our calls to action and we'll get out of here. ZAYAH Fitness. I keep saying it, but bro, I walk past the gym every day now and like I'm a step closer to walking in. I'm almost there. But if you're trying to get there, if you need help with your fitness or your nutrition, ZAYAH Fitness on Instagram. Hit him up. He's posting all. He's about to get blocked from my Instagram because I'm tired of looking at him with his shirt off. But he's posting all kinds of videos of the exercises and stuff he does. He can get you there. I just don't want to look at it no more. But ZAYAH Fitness, Zaya Fitness on Instagram. Hit him up. If you're looking for ways to be impactful, if you're looking for ways to maybe help out people who need that, who are seeking that help, who are at that place where they need that kind of assistance. And maybe it's not so much help, you know, with their addiction, but it's help getting back on their feet after they've taken steps to try to, you know, conquer said addiction. If you're looking for ways to be a part of that, to be impactful in those areas, ttcharities.org. ttcharities.org. Please check out the website. They always got something going on. You know, do what you can. Donate time, money, books, clothes. A share, a repost, a like, a retweet. All that goes a long way. So ttcharities.org. Please check them out. And as always, I got merch. What is TWS.com? DefineFunctional.com. Get your merch. Get your For the Algorithm merch. Get your all other kind of slogans and shit I got. I don't even know no more. Like, if I say something more than twice, I'm probably going to make a shirt out of it. So the shit is expanding. I got everything, man. I got wall art. I got mugs and all kinds of stuff, man. Check out the website. If you really want to help, that sounded fucked up. If you just want to rep the world's most poppin' podcast, grab some merch. You can use coupon code ALGORITHM, ALGORITHM, for 20% off your entire order. That's probably going to run until, I don't want it to run no more. But yeah, hit up the store, help a brother out, help me take Chef Elise to Disney World or some shit like that. But with all that being said, as much as I've been on the lovey-dovey R&B falsetto shit, I'm still a
nigga
first, so that's horrible. But I don't know. For some reason, I feel like I needed to balance out all of that shit with something, I guess, as crass as possible. So we're going to go back to J. Cole, the Ellie Leakers freestyle. Until we speak again, be safe, be the light, and be easy. I love y'all. Holla.
No stress, my only guess is that less is more. More or less, 100 G's in my dresser drawer. Ooh. I'm blessed, hope I arrest, don't arrest me for it. I'm new to it. My new crib got the Times Square view to it. While two bitches lay in my bed, I'm used to it. That's your best friend giving me head. Now you do it. See, mommy, it's not so weird. After I hit, I cut you off like Picasso ear. Van Gogh or whoever. Goddamn, Cole, you're too clever. Like a fucking James Brown sample. You're too ever. Times two, that's forever. More treble, meaning more high-end shit on your level. Yeah. Put the fear, God.